Jeff here on this Friday morning. It is finally Friday, and everybody is happy about that. I am your host, Kyle High, and joining us this morning, as he does at the third Thursday or Friday of every month, we have Representative Jim Kelly here today. And good morning, Representative Kelly. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, good morning. How are you?
I am doing really good. It's Friday, so I'm definitely excited. Going to have a big weekend this week. We have lots of events going on, so as some things are cranking back up, some other things people are maybe a little bit worried about, and we'll go ahead and get into what we were going to talk about. And one of the big things that did happen just this past week was, of course, Governor Laura Kelly putting out the executive order about pushing school starts back by about 3 weeks, and other topics with that executive order.
Yeah, that was probably one of the big issues of the week. And of course, the order, the last that I saw, she was going to issue it Monday. And they're actually, I hope that some guidelines on what everything that she is going to intend the order to do. And of course, that order, by legislation, by House Bill 2016 that was passed in the special session, the Kansas State School Board is going to have to go through and make an approval, a change, whatever, in that order. And the the State Finance Council will still have to have a meeting. And they can comment on the order, but they cannot make changes to it. But the school board, Kansas State School Board, has to approve the order. But not many details out on it. But really, for me and some others, what it did is it turned the clock back to my grade school and high school days, and even my early college days, where we never did start before Labor Day had passed us by. So it's actually going back to some time that there's a number of us that remember that always being the case. But a lot of different comments on this order, delaying it about 3 weeks. I'm not so sure that with the executive order coming out so late, with the schools just receiving a monstrously long reopening plan, and I know a number of them have been involved in it, that maybe a little extra time won't be bad to try to assimilate everything that's in there and be ready to plan. But of course, like everything, there's lots of controversy. You create issues for some parents with the daycare. You create some issues for employers because their employees or their own kids will be at home longer than was anticipated. So, of course, that creates some expense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everything that we've seen since the first part of the year, the end of the first quarter of the year, is kind of blazing new trails because it's things that we've never done before.
Right, and I do agree with you. I remember, I'm only 42, but I remember school for me in middle school and high school, that school did not start until after Labor Day. That was kind of like everybody kind of considers Labor Day the kind of unofficial end of summer. Well, that was always the kind of official start for us. We started the Tuesday after Labor Day, and I do remember that, and I also remember that school would end a few weeks, probably about 2 weeks before Memorial Day. So it was always kind of like those 2 days were kind of like the bracketing of being off of school. So I'm not sure if you know the answer to this one. Is this also going to push back the end of school by 3 weeks as well?
Well, I'm not sure, because I think there are, options that schools will have, you know, they have so many hours or days of instruction that they have to do. And in instances in the past where, you know, there's been exceeding the snow days that were built into the schedule, or there's some schools that have shut down because of flu break, you know, outbreaks and all, and they've added so many minutes to the days. I mean, I can remember in both grade school and high school when there were some really pretty sizable flu outbreaks, nothing like what we're seeing with the COVID, but that we actually went to school some Saturday mornings to make up the time. And same way in high school, when there was a fire at the school and it was shut down for, I can't remember, a week or 2 weeks, we went on some Saturdays to make up the day. So there's options available without extending it, I believe. But I would guess that maybe every school will do it a little bit different, but then that's just another piece thrown into the mix that, you know, all of this creates. And it is, I mean, the date that was picked, if nothing else, is not, it kind of goes back. It's not something that's never been done before, because in, like you were saying, in times, in some years past, that was what was always signaled the starting of school. Now, I wish the rules and guidelines and everything would have come out, you know, either right the day that the order was talked about, and that it didn't follow the release of the state board's, you know, guidelines for reopening schools, and maybe trumped it, you know, potentially. I mean, that's the biggest problem that I've seen with pretty much everything in COVID. I know, like we said, we're breaking new grounds every time you do something, but the guidelines and all really lag the announcement, and that makes it very difficult for everyone involved.
It does. And a part of this executive order that Governor Laura Kelly put out, she said she would like for schools to have masks and also temperature checks at entrances. What do you think about those particular items of her executive order? Are you in favor of that, or are you against it? And do you think it would be a good thing or a bad thing if those were instituted?
Well, you know, I don't think when you look at some, if you're going to do temperature checks and all at you know, at each of the entrances, I don't think that's bad. I mean, you've got hospitals doing it. You have public meetings doing it. I went to a forum last night, and as I walked in, my temperature was taken. And so I don't think that's bad. You know, the mask, you know, in Montgomery County, the masks are suggested but not mandated. But you do see a lot of it will depend on the social distancing that can take place in the classroom. And if it can't take place, following Kansas, and that it is in our county that it's suggested, I think that probably need to, you know, look at what our county has done and model it. But I think there are times that if social distancing can't take place, and that appears to be what's causing a lot of the outbreak, where people ignore the social distancing and ignore crowds, that we're seeing the outbreak. So I think we have to be very aware of that. And I know that I saw where Dr. Norman, the state health officer, indicated that, you know, he believes in these weeks leading up to the start of school, if people would, you know, try to follow the suggested guidelines of wearing a mask and do the social distancing and the hygiene, that we could put a lot of this outbreak behind us and be able to end the school year in good shape. But again, like I say, in our county, it's suggested and not mandated. So I think you just have to use good common sense. And I think in my case, I mean, I will wear a mask. I do carry the hand sanitizer with me. I try to social distance every place that I'm at, and I'm doing it not so much for me, but for others around, particularly vulnerable ones, that I may have come in contact with something unknowingly. So, I mean, that's my choice, and that's how I will do is wear it, because I just think it's the right thing to do for the others that are around me.
Yeah, and when I'm going out to places, although it's starting to get to be a lot more places where they're, it's mandatory to wear the masks now. I do believe Walmart on the 20th, which is Monday, they're going to start mandating people who are coming into the store that they must have a face covering of some sort. And other stores are starting to kind of do that as well around the country. Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say that you are seeing that. And I mean, I think a lot of those stores, they're looking at potentially liability issues for themselves in the store. But, the Walmart employees for months have all been wearing masks. And so I think that's positive. I like to go into a store, and I don't go into a restaurant if they're not wearing masks. I will not eat at a restaurant if the staff and the cooks are not wearing masks, and that's just my personal preference. It's not required, but it just gives me a comfort level, and so I do notice things like that.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that as well, sir. A few other things we want to talk about, but while we still have a few minutes here, of course, August 4th is the primary. So obviously, we just want to get people to get out there and encourage them to vote. And I do believe either absentee or mail-in actually started, I think, yesterday. So again, we just want to get people to encourage them to get out and vote, correct?
That's correct, because, traditionally, and I say traditionally, and that goes back, a decade at least, and probably a little farther back, voter turnout has not been very strong, particularly in primary elections. And then COVID throws another twist into that. We're seeing some things for the first time, but COVID throws another twist in that. And, if we've in the past had, a turnout of, say, 20%, we don't want the fear of going out to vote or not taking the advantage of the mail-in or the absentee or any of that to drop that percentage down, because there are some important decisions being made in this particular primary, when you look for the particularly the U.S. House and Senate race, we have both a senator for Kansas and we have a House member in our district, District 2, up for grabs in the primary to determine who the Republican candidate will be. And so it's an important time. It's important for the state, and we do want to get a good, solid turnout. And we need to have one.
Absolutely. So, primary election on August 4th. And then the last thing I did want to discuss with you, of course, the census is still going on, and some communities are around, at least I think Caulfield's around 50% or so. I know I think Cherryvale and Independence a little bit higher than that. We just want to also get people to encourage to fill out the census. It takes less than 2 minutes, and the best thing about it is you can do it online, and it's done very quickly, correct?
That is correct. And I mean, we talk about important things, and you and I have talked about it before, is that this census kind of sets the bar for us for the next 10 years when we look at Do we keep the same number of congressional seats that we have? If we drop in census, it could make a difference. This census, if we don't have a good turnout across the state, and it shows our numbers decreasing, our population numbers decreasing, then all of a sudden we are getting less money coming in from federal programs for aid to school, for lunch programs. I mean, this census it's a difference maker for the next 10 years. So when you look at population representation, when you look at redrawing boundary lines, if it's down, you know, the areas that are growing and would probably still show up whether everyone did the census or not are some of the metro areas. And if we have poor census turnout here in the rural areas of Kansas, all of a sudden there are more legislators in the metro areas and fewer in the rural areas, which is a real negative. So it's very important that we get out. Like you said, it takes a very short amount of time. And for that couple minutes that you invest, it makes 10 years worth of difference.
Absolutely, it does. So be sure to get out there and fill out that census. Well, sir, we are out of time today, but I appreciate you coming on today and talking about these things today. And I hope you have a good weekend, sir. And again, we look forward to talking to you next month.
Well, I look forward to it, too. And since you're going to have a busy weekend, have fun and stay safe.
Absolutely. We have that auction going on tomorrow, so that's going to be the start of my busy weekend.
Will be a busy one.
Yes, it will. Well, sir, again, I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to talk to us. And again, we will talk to you again next month. I always look forward to it.
I will look forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Representative Jim Kelly, right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Of course, he's here the third Friday of every month. We appreciate him taking a few minutes out of his day to talk to us. We are going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will have news at the top of the hour and also avoid this weather. I just heard some thunder outside. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.